Let's turn to the book of Matthew. Praise God. If you love His Word this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount. When my wife and I first started showing interest to one another, I thought this was the Beatitudes, but I learned it was the Beatitudes. She helped lead me and guide me into all truths. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Happy are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. Shake somebody's hand before you see it and ask them, "Where's your mercy?" I want to preach for just a little while this morning on mercy. We know that this is supposed to be the house of mercy. And I'm excited because when the Lord speaks to you specifically what to preach, the Word of God is creative. In the beginning, what was it? God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. When God's Word speaks, it always brings creation. And months back, the Lord began to deal with me to preach on preparing for the prodigal. And so I started preaching a series. I imagine the folks in Des Moines are probably getting pretty tired of hearing about the prodigal. I say that. I don't really think they are. There's an anticipation in our church as God is beginning to bring in a new harvest. When we took the church, about 120, 140, according to the books. I'm not a big numbers guy, but that lets you see what's happening. And the church now is consistently running 300 and over 300. It's just been miraculous what God has done. It's tremendous to see what the Lord is doing. And I know that Brother Kincaid has that kind of vision for Goshen, Indiana, for First Assembly of God. And so, everybody do like this real quick, please. Knock your feelings off your shoulders. Don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. "Perfect peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Is it all right if I just tell you what God told me to tell this church? If you want mercy, you got to give mercy. If you don't give mercy, you won't get mercy. Tell somebody close to you, if you don't give it, you won't get it. If you don't give mercy, if you don't have mercy in your heart, if mercy is not a makeup of who you are as a child of God, let me tell you something, friend, you won't get it. When you need it the most, it will not be there. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Amen. Oh, I want mercy. I don't know about you, but I haven't always done everything exactly the way I should have done it. How many of you will say, "I've been born again"? Will you just wave at me this morning? I have been born again. How many of you, since you were born again, have fallen? made mistakes, you got angry, your temper got out of control, you said something you wish you hadn't have said, you watched something you wish you hadn't watched, you did something you wish you had not have done. I believe everybody in this room would just wave their hands. Some of you are afraid to do it. You're afraid that somebody by you doesn't have mercy. Oh, but thank God we are in the house of mercy. For those of us who have been so forgiven by the power of Jesus Christ, how much more should we want to show mercy to people that don't know Jesus? How much more should it be inside of us, burning in us, a desire inside of us to reach out to the lost? You know, I went to work in East Alton, Illinois, and Brother Ellison, the jerk, the great brother of mine, he reminded me of how old I'm getting by telling me he just kept rubbing it in this morning how old I am. That's where one of our first places. I was a youth pastor, then I went to Bible school, and then I went to work with Brother Roy. And Brother Roy was not fake. I mean, it was 110% real, genuine, just wanting to reach the lost. He tried to win the mailman to the Lord. I've been with him before. Someone ran into us and really jolted us and knocked some plastic and other stuff off the back of his car. He jumped out of his Ford Tempo and ran back there to make sure the guy was okay. And he said, "Hey, I'm okay. You're okay. Let's go." The guy said, "Are you serious?" And Brother Roy walked over to him and said, "It's just like God, friend. No matter what you've done, no matter what big of a mess you've made, God is able to say, it's okay, just go on, everything's going to be all right." He said, "You're not going to call the insurance?" He said, "I'm not calling. You're not going to report it to the police?" He said, "Hey, I'm kind of like the Lord is. I want to have mercy." I'm telling you, he wanted to win everybody to the Lord. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. I was coming fresh out of Bible school and I had both pistols in. I mean, I was loaded for evil. I was loaded for sin. I was ready to shoot it. I mean, at any opportunity. But I had enough wisdom from my father that it was balancing it a little bit, but I needed some help. And working with Brother Roy, it helped me to learn how to love people. Just to love people, just to have a desire to minister to them. To be able to see somebody who didn't look the same way or act the same way and be able to say, "Hey, that's my brother or that's my sister in the Lord. That's my fellow creation. That's the one that I'm supposed to be reaching out for. The one that I'm supposed to be ministering to." If some of you came to my church and walked in, you probably would be going, "Oh my goodness. You see this? Did you see? Folks, when you grow over 100 people, and we grew, that big growth spurt took place in about a year's time. And then from since that time, we just kind of had a good, solid, slow growth, and now we're getting ready to explode. I just can't wait to see what God is going to do. We're getting ready to add our balcony in the church because we're going to win our city for Christ. And if you came in and looked, you might look across that sanctuary and say, "Man, what in the world is going on?" But I could tell you, standing in the pulpit, Brother Kincaid, I look over here and I see a young man who just got out of jail. He's serving his parole by coming to God's house. Every Sunday, his hands are in the air and tears are running down his face. God has set him free from the hand of hell. Hallelujah. He's worshiping God. You know where it all started? His dad started coming to church. His mom got a hold of his wheelchair and pushed him into church. He had ALS. He was so mad. He couldn't say anything, but he was cussing. Amen. As she pushed him into the house of God, he was so angry. He didn't want to be there. It was one of those situations where you compel him to come in. Hallelujah. And she brought him to church the first Sunday, Brother Prysock. I mean, he sat there and you could tell he was mad and he was miserable. The second Sunday, tears were running down his face. The third Sunday, one of my deacons knelt beside him and led him in a sinner's prayer. Amen. As he confessed his sins to Christ and the best that he could vocalize as he accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Master of his life. And now his boy, whose life was totally messed up, is in the house of God every Sunday morning. I want to look at that young man and say, "I can have mercy." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. you just look on over a little ways across the congregation, sitting almost directly in front of me, there's a young... Well, let's just go to this section for a little while. Sitting about right here is a young woman who met a man on the internet, ran off to meet him. Her grandpa came in one day, was working on her building for a Christian school. He walked up to me and he said, "Brother Stone," he said, "I'm sick." I said, "Brother, what's going on? What's happening?" He said, "My granddaughter has got on the internet. She's met someone. She's gone. They can't find her." I said, "Let's pray right now." We stopped the work. We got down and prayed. Sought the face of God. When we got through praying, Brother Kincaid, I grabbed that brother by his shoulders. He didn't go to our church. He just was, he had some family that was connected and he was helping us as we worked on the church. I said, "Get your girl to this church. We can help her. Get her here." They brought her the first service. Amen. She came down to the altar and prayed. Hallelujah. We've had her in youth camp. She got filled with the Holy Ghost. She got called into the ministry. She's always trying to follow my wife around and ask her, "How does the pastor's wife act?" Because I believe that God has called me to be a pastor's wife. And I can't wait to do what I can for the Lord. But I want to be the best that I can be. Every service, her hands are in the air. Tears are running down her face as she worships God. Hallelujah. I like to shout it. This is the house of mercy. Praise God. Sitting directly in front of me every Sunday. What a thrill to look in that section, amen, and see a man that I've witnessed to for probably about a year trying to win him to the Lord. And one day he said, "You know, one of these days I'm going to come to your church." I said, "Really, John, that's not what really I'm after here. I want you to get born again. If you don't ever come to my church, that's not going to make a difference, but you've got to be born again." He said, "Well, one of these days I'll get straightened up and I'll come." I said, "You just got to come like you are." Last year, January, February, somewhere in that time, I looked out and I saw him. Amen. I didn't have to have anybody help me preach that morning. Glory to God. I knew what to preach. Amen. And when the altar call was given, John didn't come by himself. He grabbed a hold of Kelly, his wife. They came down and got prayed all the way through. Praise the Lord. And while they're praying, their kids are sitting back there looking and wiping tears. And the next Sunday, all the whole family came down to the altar and gave their heart to the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, he looks like Grizzly Adams. He don't mind. I've told him that. He looks like Grizzly Adams. I mean, he just, but I'm glad he's in the Lord's house. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's worshiping God. I'm glad he's serving the Lord. Hallelujah. He's got a heart and a passion to keep on serving God. I went out to eat breakfast with him. He said, "Preacher, I need to talk." He said, "I don't want to be a hypocrite. You need to know who I am. I've done some horrible things." I said, "John, you didn't come down and pray the other day, did you?" He said, "Yes, I did, Pastor. You were there. You saw me." I said, "You must not have confessed your sins." "I did too, Pastor. I confessed my sins." I said, "If you confess your sins, Jesus has forgiven you, and it doesn't matter to me. Don't tell me one thing about your family. I don't need to know about it. You already told the high priest. You already told Jesus. I don't have to know that stuff." He threw his hands up in the air right there in the restaurant, and loud as he could, he just started saying, "Glory to God! Hallelujah!" And worshiping the Lord. His wife lifted her hands and started worshiping God. Hey, if you want mercy, you gotta give it! I tell you, folks don't want to come to a church where everybody looks like they swallowed a dill pickle sideways. We start out our services, and I have people walk around and shake hands. You know why I do that? Because we get used to where we're at. I'm not telling you have to do that. Brother Kincaid knows me. We get used to where we are, and it's almost like we've written our name on that pew. Well, some of y'all are looking at me like I got lobsters crawling out of my ears. I've never heard a preacher preach like that before. Hey, listen, I've got to preach the way God told me to preach this morning. That's all I can do. I mean, it's like we got our name written on the pew. Oh, don't get mad. Come on now. We were in a church in southern Ohio, and a man came in. He was about 90 years old. He walked up with a cane, walked up beside one of the girls with our ministry team there, and she was sitting about like what you're sitting there, and he went, wham, and hit that pew and said, I've been sitting there for 50 years. She said, I'm sorry. She got up, she started crying. It scared her half to death. She wasn't crying because she was overly sensitive. It scared her. There's a man with a cane, a crazy man with a cane. Oh, that's the kind of church I want to go to. People start singing, boy, it thrilled my heart. I'm telling you, folks know how to worship God. I was thinking, brother, as I was standing up here worshiping the Lord with you this morning, I thought, man, the music, the passion to worship, looking around, seeing people stand, they got their hands raised. This is the kind of atmosphere where God can change hearts and lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what happens sometimes, just like the pastor was talking this morning, we get it in our mind, hey, this is probably going to be about as good as we get. I want to tell you something. I've been to several places here in town already since we got here. I had to go to the ER the other night. My little boy was having trouble breathing. We had to get him a breathing treatment. And when we went there, a young lady was sitting at the desk. She said, First Assembly of God, that's who you're with? She said, I know where that church is. I went to the school years ago. Hey, man. I said, did you know Brother Johnson? She said, yes, I sure did. What a great man. Started talking about the church. I went to the motel, and the woman, when we first started checking in, she said, I know where that church is. In fact, I've met some folks from that church. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, wouldn't it be wonderful for the glory of God to come in this place in such a way that when people walk in to the Lord's house, they'd say, there's mercy here. Hey, there's enough judgment in the world. The devil is playing cat and mouse with them. He's trying to destroy them. He's trying to rip them to pieces. He's trying to tear them up. But when they come into the Lord's house, this ought to be the place where God can show them mercy. If we don't give it, we won't get it. But if you give it, it becomes addictive. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? When you give mercy, it becomes addictive. You want to reach more people. You want to touch more people's lives. You want to minister to more people because you know what God is able to do. Man called me. He said, Brother Snow, I'm still in this middle section. Said, and there's so many more that I'm skipping from these sections in our church. As I'm telling you, it's just tremendous what God's doing. He called me and said, my granddaughter goes out into the woods and becomes a totally different person. Her voice changes. Sometimes she speaks in a man's voice, a deep man's voice. She wrote me this letter, and he showed me the letter, and she said, when I change, the first thing I think is I must kill myself or kill someone. He said, Brother Snow, what do you think's wrong with her? I said, what do you think's wrong with her? I said, she's demon possessed. She needs deliverance. She came to church and we started singing, and I could tell from the first song God was moving. And I'm going to tell you, there's not enough devils in hell that can keep somebody bound who wants to be free. She came up to the front, and Missy's got her hands up, and I'm telling you, so exciting watching her grow. And Drew was an atheist. Her husband, Drew, was an atheist. She's 30 years old, and she looked, no exaggeration, I'm not speaking evangelistically this morning. Dee, she probably looked like she's 60 years old, didn't she? I mean, she just looked just beat up and beat down. If you're 60, that doesn't mean you look beat up and beat down. She was 30 and looked like she's 60. That looks like you're beat up and beat down. Plus, I had to save myself real quick on that one. So, here she is in the service. She's got her hands up, and I walked over to her because the demons began to manifest themselves. She started trying to talk in tongues, and I've heard that many times. And I walked over, and I grabbed a hold of her arm, and I said, you're coming with me. And she turned around and looked at me, and several men's voices came out of her and said, we're not going nowhere. I said, yes, you are. In Jesus' name. Took her over into one of the Sunday school rooms because the devil's not going to steal the service. People were getting blessed, helped, healed, delivered that night in the service. The devil's not going to take over. So we took her in a room. Some of my deacons gathered around. Her grandfather's one of our deacons. He gathered around. We started praying. And God set her free. The demon said, we're coming out. You can't cast us out. I started laughing. I said, I've heard that one before. You're coming out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God set her free. That woman who looked like she was 60 in just a matter of 10 minutes or less looked like she was 30 years old. Her wrinkles were gone. The skin was beautiful. Dee, would you just wave your hand and testify that she was there in the service? It was miraculous. Drew, I walked out to him. I said, Drew, I got something you need to see. Walk back into that room. I'm holding onto his arm. And when we opened the door, Drew fell over on me and fell against the wall. It said, there is a God. Hallelujah. Oh, let me tell you, when the house of God is ready to receive people with mercy, it'll draw in even those that are bound by the power of hell. Praise God. Those that are bound by hell will be set free. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. If you're in this room this morning and you can't quit being sick, I mean, it just comes on over and over. Every time you try to serve the Lord, it just seems like something else comes against you. I want you to know that Jesus is not doing that. Amen, Brother Snow. Go ahead and preach. Okay, I think I will. I said Jesus isn't doing that. Jesus doesn't walk around finding folks to make sick. Jesus came to seek and save that which is life. He came to give us life and give it more abundantly. The devil is the one that came to kill, to steal, and destroy. He's the one in the business of trying to destroy your life. But you came into a place this morning. Brother Kincaid, I believe he said, oh, 5 years now. Pastoring going over the 5-year mark. Pastoring here. I want you to know something. God is getting ready to do some great things at First Assembly of God. Somebody says, oh, preacher, you're just saying that so everybody will like him. We won't run you out of town. No, brothers and sisters, I came with a word. Amen. I believe if we will prepare a house of mercy, there's no telling what God will do in hearts and lives. Now, the scripture I read in Galatians is very contrary to what we act like sometimes. When somebody's overtaken in a sin or a fault, we want to broadcast it. We want to make everybody know how we're spiritual, and we'd never do something like that. I'd never do that. I'd never say that. I'd never act that way. I'd never watch that. I'd never be a part of that. Friend, you don't know what you do out of the hand of God. God has given us the ministry of restoration. But restoration never comes without mercy. How many folks in this room right now would lift your hand and say, God, baptize me in mercy. God, baptize me in mercy. Let me be like Jesus Christ. Would you just lift your hands with me across this room? Hallelujah. And say, Lord, saturate my life with mercy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Sarah, would you come to the music this morning? Still in the middle section, there's a man that sits about midway back in the middle section of our church. Church set up just a little different. There's a middle section that runs back. When I baptized him, he wore a white t-shirt. And most of the time I put folks in robes, but he didn't feel comfortable with that. You got to just know his situation. So I said, hey, I'm just glad you want to be baptized. Let's baptize you. When he come up out of the water, that white shirt, he's crying, snot's going everywhere, tears are going everywhere. There's dragons, demons, lettering of hell. And when he stood up with those hands up like this, hallelujah, said it the other night at the youth meeting. I haven't had a lot of times where God's just said something I knew specifically was a word. I knew that God was saying it, but God spoke to me and said, hell just lost a sinner, but heaven just gained a saint. Woo! Glory to God. That man had his fingers shot off. He's been shot in the stomach when he was in drugs. I was with him one day when a guy come walking up to him that he used to run with all the time. Shannon just started shaking. He looked over at me. He said, "Pastor," he said, "that's what I used to be, but I'm running from it. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back." Hallelujah. That was after just being saved for a while. Now, hallelujah, he doesn't shake anymore unless he's shaking his head. "That's where I used to be. I ain't going that way anymore." Hallelujah. He's up there, got his hands when he comes up and worships the Lord. His hands just shaking, tears run down his face. He worships God. He was beaten by his family. He was abused by everyone around him. Never learned how to read. The educational system just pushed him through grade after grade. Finally, he dropped out of school. Doesn't know how to read. He's embarrassed about that. And I said, "Shannon, I don't know anybody that can do as many things with their hands as what you can. He can do anything, mechanical or construction-wise." I said, "You don't have to read. You don't have to read." But let me tell you what happened. He got an old King James Bible and started looking at it. Hallelujah. And now he's starting to be able to read a little bit. Oh, I want to shout it. I want to shout it in this room. The house of mercy, glory to God, draws people in. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll have to get to the other sections later in the revival. Amen. Because some folks stop having church at about noon. I don't want to mess you up. Praise God. Amen. If you don't believe me, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5. John's Gospel, chapter 5. Bethesda. The house of mercy. Praise God. What drew you to the Lord's house? I know Brother Johnson preached a funeral and the Lord really got a hold of your heart and started bringing you. But you knew there was hope here, didn't you, brother? You knew there was hope. How many years has that been now, brother?
Better than 16.
16 years. Praise God. Were you heading to heaven when you started coming here?
No,
sir. You were headed to hell. But you knew there was something here that was going to give you hope. It was going to give you hope. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I would not want to go to a church, as Wendy Bagwell would say, with my hand on a Bible. I would not want to go to a church where everybody looked the same. I wouldn't want to go to that kind of church. I've been to those. I was an evangelist and I went to a few of them and preached meetings. We never had revival. I remember one I was in, the pastor's wife leaned over to me as she was on her way to the platform because the kids had gone up to sing a little song and she went, "Oh, I wish they'd put some clothes on." Spirit of slap almost came over me. That's one of the gifts, that's the tenth gift of the Spirit, spirit of slap. Oh! My brother was over that bus ministry. And I'd been with him to that house where those little girls came from. We had to turn our backs because pornography was playing on the television and those little girls were laying there watching it. Raw pornography. I was just glad they were in the Lord's house. I wouldn't want to be in a church like that. I want to be in a house full of people who are needing help. Amen. To realize that in this house, they can find hope. In this house, they can find help. In this house, it's a place of mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a place there in John chapter 5, Bethesda. It is the house. Bethesda means the house of mercy. And when the water was troubled, just a few could get their miracle, but there was a man who was laying there all of his life, lame. He said, "I can't get in. Nobody's there to help me." Oh my God.
What are you? What are you, saint of God, that's sitting on the pew this morning? What are you? Are you a helper or a hindrance to the pull? Oh! Are you a helper? Do you have mercy? Is it flowing out of your life? Does it draw people to you? Does it make people want to go to the church that you go to? Amen. I believe I'm looking at some good folks. I believe I'm looking at some folks that are saying, that's what I want to be. That's what I'm striving to be. I sure hope that I am. Amen. I have no man to put me in. And Jesus said, you don't need a pull. You just need me. Take up your bed and walk. Hallelujah. Immediately, the man took up his bed. Immediately, he was miraculously healed by the hand of God. That's what happens. That's what happens in the house of mercy. God spoke to me probably 3 years ago, every Sunday morning. You know, people are busy, and I respect that. I really do. Especially our night service, I respect. We got folks that have to get up early and work, or some of them may be working the night shift after service. I respect that. Amen. But if we're not careful, we get in such a hurry, we become a McDonald's Assembly of God. We got the drive-through service. Don't get nervous by that. I'm fixing to close. We get that McDonald's mentality. Let's just go through the drive-through. Let's get it done. God spoke to me. You give me time in your Sunday morning service to heal the sick, and I will heal them. And so we started having people come out in the aisles, and we've heard it so many times that it's amazing. Would you stand with us across the room? People have come to me and said, brother, I went to the doctor. Cancer? Other serious diseases? And the doctor has looked at them and said, we don't know who you are, because the scans and what you are now is two different people. We don't even know who you are. We can't treat you because we don't know what's going on. Something's happened and we can't explain it. Or some of them that are believers, the doctors have said, the only way we can explain this, God has touched you. You are healed. Praise God. And on a weekly basis, the office is flooded with reports of miracles of healing, miracles in families, miracles in relationships, miracles in finances, because we just take the time. If you've got a need, step out in the aisle. Let God touch you. It's been miraculous what God has done. You know what? We've got people to drive over an hour to come to church because they want to be in a house of mercy. Amen. How many of you say, that's what we want? That's what we desire. That's why we're having revival this week. And I'll tell you, I believe you've got that. I believe God's doing some great things. But I believe God wants to do more. I see a few empty seats here this morning. I'd love to see filled up, wouldn't you? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. There's the overflow. Glory to God. There's some chairs set out. Praise God to contain the crowd. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's what happens in a house of mercy. Will you lift your hands across this room? Will you lift your voice to the Lord right now and say, God, I want to get it. I want to get mercy. I want to get mercy. So God, I want to give it. I want to give it away. Hallelujah. I want to give it away. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Preached down there in Missouri, Brother Kincaid, and got word that after we preached that, some folks got up and made fun of how that Jesus is not a friend of sinners. I guess they haven't read the Word of God because He was. And those are the same folks that are going to have 10, 15 people, and they're all going to fight each other for 20 or 30 years. That's going to be a great pastorate. They're going to have a great time. That's not what I want. That's not what you want. That's not what we've got right here, the First Assembly of God. This church has been a lighthouse for years. I believe God wants to revisit the pool. I believe God wants to revisit the pool. Praise the Lord. Here a few years back, Brother Price had come to me, and pastor was here at that time. He said, brothers, he said, let's put an ad in the paper. Amen. Come to the big top.
Amen. If you're sick, whatever your need is, God is able to heal it. Praise the Lord. That's my kind of man right there. Praise the Lord. I never doubt. Anytime I pray for somebody that's sick, I never doubt God's able to do it right here, right now, because that's the kind of God we serve. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to even say, I want this to be a house of mercy. How many of you say this morning, I need mercy in my life. I need some mercy today. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're in this service right now and you'll say, preacher, I need God's mercy in my life. I'm not where I need to be with God. And I need help. I realize I'm in a place where I can really get help. I want you to lift your hand as high as you can. Say, preacher, that's me. Put it back down. I need God's help today. Praise the Lord. Whether you raise your hand or not, if you'll say, I want God to do something great in our church. I want Him to move. I want God to do something fresh in my pastor. How many of you say this morning when I come to that altar, I'm going to pray for my pastor and his family. Hallelujah. For God to just do something fresh and new in their hearts and in their lives. I'm telling you, you don't know. Well, I think you do. You know how blessed you are. What a tremendous man of God and family of God that you have pastoring and leading this church and the other ministry that's in this church. You're very blessed. How many of you this morning will come saying, I want to pray that this will be the house of mercy. That God will save and deliver and set free and heal and breathe into our sanctuary again. Will you come all across this room? Find yourself a place. Praise the Lord. When your church is over, amen. Yeah.